540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. In flood-ravaged Vermont, emergency officials are keeping an eye on a dam in the capital city of Montpelier following 2 months of rain in 2 days. CBS's Meg Oliver is there and has been checking out the damage.
Roads were completely just shaved off on either end. We just had to drive over the double yellow line. Debris had fallen. There was a lot of crews out fixing things already. They're urging people to please, if you live in a flooded area, to stay away, because right now we know here this water may be contaminated. They have ordered a boil water notice, but the cleanup process is just beginning, and it is extensive statewide.
There are millions in the U.S. suffering under dangerous heat conditions. CBS's Allison Keyes reports.
In Phoenix, which is on pace to break a nearly 50-year-old record for days above 110 degrees, emergency room Dr. Frank Lovacchio says people are pouring in with heat-related illnesses.
Think of like a little kiddie pool, but it's kind of rectangular, that we fill up with ice and we put patients in.
In central and southern Florida, Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen says the heat index is running as high as 110.
Which is dangerous even for southern Florida because of the combination of heat and humidity.
Allison Keyes, CBS News.
South Korea says North Korea has launched a ballistic missile toward the North's eastern waters. It comes a day after the North made a threat over an alleged U.S. spy flight. The PGA Tour defends its LIV golf deal on Capitol Hill. PGA Tour CEO Ron Price answering Senator Richard Blumenthal's question if he would guarantee that the final agreement would not have a clause that would prevent any PGA Tour member from making disparaging statements about Saudi Arabia or its entities.
The framework agreement does not prevent our players from speaking their mind on any matters. They're open.
It doesn't now, but you can't commit that the final agreement will not require them to avoid any such disparaging statement?
We do not anticipate it having that.
A group of Georgians selected to be grand jurors today may soon consider charges against former President Trump and his allies for their alleged roles in trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election. CBS's Nicole Killian with what's at the center of the case.
A big part of that stems from that now infamous phone call that the former president made to Georgia Secretary of State right after the 2020 election, asking him to find the votes to potentially overturn the election in his favor.
The SAG-AFTRA Actors Union has agreed to a request from Hollywood Studios to call in a mediator to try to reach a new labor agreement in the final hours before their current contract expires. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that jolly good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
BirdieBales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, you know, since you've been talking in the right side of that microphone, Haley, you sound like a million bucks.
Well, that's what we're going for, so that's good.
Awesome. Hey, it's a Tuesday here, and we love to hear from up in the deep north, as we like to call it, because there's so many strange things happening up there, but also some positive things happening up there. And thinking of positive, we have Nancy Bolio of MN350 stopping in and giving us an update in a good way what's happening up in the deep north. Welcome, Nancy. Ho-wah.
Bonjour. Thinking of good things, Robert, I want to share my cup here. It says, do good.
Right on.
And, you know, honestly, that made me think about not just doing good, but being good. You can do something, take an action, and it looks like you're a good person, but on the other side of things, you're not so good. And it creates a lot of harm. And I think, you know, as Indigenous people, that's not our way. Our way is to uplift each other and support each other in the work that we do, in the spaces that we share. So I want to remind our relatives and even our allies that when we're here in this journey called life, we're supposed to walk with a good heart and show up with good intentions. And if you forget how to do that, you need to step back and do some self-reflection and do a little praying for yourself. And we'll pray for you too. But yeah, I think it's really important that we get back to that, because, you know, we are in a world where there's so many injustices, and we shouldn't fight amongst ourselves. We should be building each other up and getting back to that resiliency we once had, you know, before this colonized system assimilated us and put us in a lot of dark places. So, you know, this is one reason why I do this work, because I believe in us, and we're here. And I think there's a lot of good work to do. And I'm just, you know, really excited that I can do what I do. And again, for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Nancy Bolio. I'm from the Leech Lake Reservation in northern Minnesota, and I've been the northern organizer for Minnesota 350 for just about 6 years. And we are a nonprofit for environmental and racial injustice, and I lead the treaty work at Minnesota 350.
Yes, yes. And what I really like to do, and then I'd like to backtrack a little bit too, because we always have new listeners jumping in their car, especially now we're at 5 o'clock and we're getting people jumping in their car and listening to us in their car. Just to basically what you do and to talk a little bit about treaties. And I've learned from you so much about treaties. I know Ho-Chunk signed the 1855 treaty back in the day, and this is like Ho-Chunk land. And there's things out there with these treaties that a lot of people don't understand. And what I really learned about from you is that the treaties work both ways.
Right. You know, a treaty is intended for us to live in peace. They're treaties of friendship. And there's so many reasons why we have to understand why treaties matter. And that's a big part of, you know, the spaces that we create, or, you know, even breathing life back in those treaties by holding spaces like a sugar bush or, you know, on a pipeline easement. But treaties, they're very much alive today as the day they were signed. And again, they were meant for friendship and peace and to leave the earth in a better way than we found it. And, you know, I like to keep to the layman's terms of what those treaties are, you know, because there's so many of them, Robert, and treaties are a mile long, some of them. And what we want people to really think about is just the basic understanding. And if you want to dive in more, you could visit us at Minnesota 350 on our treaty page. And we have a number of resources that they can really do a deep dive and learn more about the treaties and why they're important, even to this day. So again, we're out there reminding people because we don't see it in our history books. It's part of our Treaty 101 awareness. And quite honestly, Robert, I want to share something, you know, talking about, you know, the lack of history and those truths. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote a piece for our newsletter for the week of July 4th, the United States Independence Day. And I want to share that writing with you guys right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay. We are the people on the other side of history you don't hear from. In the spirit of America, we must do justice to history. After all, the sovereignty of the United States was gained from signing treaties with indigenous tribes. Indigenous refers to those people with pre-existing inherent sovereignty who were living together as a community prior to the contact with settler populations, most often referred to as the Europeans. Treaties between the federal government and the American Indian tribes set forth the duties and responsibilities of the U.S. government, which they still owe to us to this particular day. And those are in exchange for, you know, land and resources. Treaties protect land boundaries and inherent rights of the indigenous people, such as hunting, fishing, gathering, and traveling rights. Treaties also guarantee peace. Today, treaties continue to affirm the inherent sovereignty of American Indian Nation, enable tribal governments to maintain a nation-to-nation relationship with the United States government to manage their lands, their resources, and economies. And it also protects their people, and it builds a more secure future for generations to come. So again, Robert, it's a shared responsibility, those treaties, you know, those non-native peoples, their ancestors signed those treaties with our ancestors. And if their house, their business are on these lands, they are still benefiting from those treaties that their ancestors signed with our ancestors. So we're here holding them accountable to those obligations.
Yeah. And I think the more we talk about it, it's really interesting, too, that I think, you know, let me just back up a second. I never learned anything about treaties when I went to school. And right. I've only learned about treaties maybe the last 6 years, one, listening to you, but also, you know, that our native people had all these treaties and then were pushed out of their land anyways. And so it's a real gray zone, but I'm glad that MN350 and especially you, Nancy, have been really revving up and talking treaties. I know we have a few groups that have jumped on lately, but you and MN350 really jumped on it first, and I thought it was brilliant to talk about treaties, and especially when we're dealing with pipelines and such.
Right. And, you know, and that's our goal. When we talk about Treaty 101 awareness, and when we hold spaces like in the Sugar Bush and on the pipeline and wherever it be in the future, it is our goal to inspire other relatives to assert those treaties, because what good are those treaties if we don't assert them? I mean, honestly, when you take a look at the Sugar Bush, they were ready to go and do a clear cut. And, you know, their excuse is, well, nobody's out there sugar bushing. Huh. Well, again, you know, that's not our fault. We were assimilated and we were forced into a 40-hour week. We forgot our way. It's not our fault. But, you know, we're reminding ourselves that we're still here along with that culture that defines who we are.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Nancy, really good update on the treaties. I want to talk about what's going up on the Deep North here in the next segment, if you can hold on with us.
Sure, would love to.
Awesome. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm woke, you know. Oh, wow. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention, Native American community. We've come a long way in our fight against COVID-19. The emergency declaration may be over, but our responsibility to stay vigilant remains. It is crucial to remember that the virus is still among us, and we must continue to prioritize our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. Besides getting vaccinated, let's not forget the basics when we're around people who are still vulnerable to COVID-19. Wear your mask, wash your hands regularly, and take an at-home COVID-19 test if you have any symptoms. We've shown incredible strength and resilience throughout history, and we will triumph over this challenge as well. Let's honor our ancestors by taking care of one another and keeping our communities safe. Together, let's navigate uncertain times with courage and unity. Stay informed, stay safe, and remember that our actions today will shape a brighter future for our Native community. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Climate justice, that's right. Hey, we're here with Nancy Bolio, and I love that tagline, fighting for climate justice. Welcome. We're talking to Nancy. We talked to Nancy a lot over, we've talked to you a lot over the years, and there's reason to be positive. You got a lot of work going on up there, and in a good way, and I think that's something that I can always count on with you, Nancy, and also, you know, with MN350, too.
Right. You know, just in this last week, I had my first opportunity to get back out and table, Robert, and I was went up to Red Lake and for their Independence Day on July 6th and participated in a parade with the DFL party, reminding them as well that we're all treaty people. Mm-hmm. And then with the parade, we went down to the powwow and set up a table, why treaties matter. And Robert, it's so inspiring and so empowering to be able to communicate to people who we are, what we do, and why we do what we do. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, think that asserting their rights to hunt, fish, gather, and travel in ceded territory, meaning off the reservation, is a crime when indeed it's not. You know, like my good friend Justin Keiser would say, the treaties are constitutional. They're written right in there, Article 6. And so they are supreme law of the land. And as, you know, Native folks to these lands, we have every right to, you know, go out, hunt, fish, and gather in ceded territory, just like we did in the Sugar Bush. And so I think that's important for people to understand that, you know, a big part of what we do is we assert our treaties, and we do it in a positive way. We do it to educate not just our people, but our elected officials and our community members, our allies, you know, and our relatives. And, you know, to Camp Firelight and then the Sugar Bush, I think we are a fine example of how you can show up and assert those treaties and remind our elected officials, our not so friendly neighbors, that we have a right to exist. We have a right to be who we are.
Yeah. Remind people, and I think it's been a couple of years now, what Camp Firelight did and what it was about, because you know, I like to come back and get new listeners and remind our other listeners what that was about, because we refer to that once in a while. Can you just give a quick synopsis of that great action?
'93, during the construction in the Mississippi wetlands, just, you know, close to my reservation here in northern Minnesota, actually in the 1855 treaty territory, Line 3 construction was basically only 7 miles from the headwaters of the Mississippi, and it's really not a good place to put a pipeline underneath a wetland, not anywhere actually. But so what we did is we called on our relatives and our allies to occupy the easement on the Line 3 construction, and our goal was to hold space collectively as allies, Native and non-Native people, and show the rest of the world what it looks like to honor those treaties collectively, peacefully, so we can create a future that we can all thrive in for many generations to come. And the big part about that, Robert, was the Clearwater County Treaty Summit. We did a summit, a one-day summit, and we called on their Clearwater County, you know, the city council, the commissioners, law enforcement. And we basically did a Treaty 101 and reminded them that we have these rights and they're protected under treaty. And these are inherent rights. They didn't give us nothing, Robert. Sometimes they think, you know, go back to your reservation. They think they gave us land or they gave us the rights. In fact, that's a huge misconception. We gave those colonizers rights and we gave them land in return to be good to us. And so that's why it's important that when we went to Camp Firelight on the Line 3, that we called on our allies and showed what that treaty relationship should look like. And it was 8 days. We had the sheriff from Clearwater County support the camp because, you know, after that treaty summit, he had a clear understanding of, you know, our treaty rights and who we are and how to be a good treaty person. So again, you know, kind of do the same thing here in Beltrami County this fall, and I'm excited about it. So at Camp Firelight, we won our case. I'm one of three Anishinaabe defendants that took our case into our own tribal court. And so we proved in our own tribal court at the 1855 treaty court that the state of Minnesota lacks subject matter jurisdiction over the Anishinaabe protecting their natural resources on or off the reservation. And that's really key, that off part, because that's that ceded territory where they think that we need state permits to go hunt, fish, travel, and gather. We don't need any permit. We have those rights. And that's what treaties protect.
Right. And, you know, I'm always interested in, and I think sometimes I think about treaties and I think about the Black Hills land claim by the United States, and then the United States and the, you know, if you Google that, it has all the treaties that were on there. And, you know, 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty, the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty. And then also the government wanted to give the Great Sioux Nation money. And it's in the bank, and I think it's up to $1 billion right now, and they never took the money because you can't sell land like that, sacred land.
Right. We don't have property rights, Robert. We don't view, you know, property rights as this is my land and everything and anything on it is mine. We have relationship rights, and those are with the plants and the animals. And, you know, we're here in a sacred way, Robert. And again, you know, when this country continues to deny those treaties and that's a violation of, you know, those treaties and our rights. And it's just continued genocide, and you can't put it any other way, Robert. And we shouldn't sugarcoat, you know, the facts here. And I think it's time that the United States honors those treaties. And, you know, I tell non-native people that really don't want to understand or refuse to understand that they have an obligation. Well, I just tell them in a good way, Robert, well, you all can just build another Mayflower and head on back.
Yeah. And that's no kidding. And yeah. I think what's important too is not only are we talking about this, but again, you never hear that. I've never heard this in schools. I vaguely knew what a treaty was. I thought of possibly World War II when I thought of treaties, and that's ridiculous.
Right. And, you know, again, this country would not be a sovereign nation without signing those treaties with, you know, Native nations. And again, mm-hmm. I think this country needs to be awoke itself and understand how this country became, you know, because again, right. It was out of our trust and our offering of friendship, and they deceived us, and they still continue to do that today. And I think that's why it's more important that, you know, we find strength in each other, be good to each other, build community, and find that resiliency and breathe life back into those treaties. And we also not do that amongst ourselves.
Right. You know, and I think the treaties, well, let me just say this. We're still here, and we've been trying to get genocide out of this country so people could take over our land, whether it's with oil pipelines, whether it's with oil out of the ground or in the air and the minerals and all those things. But we're still here, and I think us talking about this in a good way and educating people, because we're not going anywhere, and we've been here 10,000 years.
Right, right. And again, you know, before it slips my mind, I want to give a shout out to the allies that understand that, you know, they too are treaty people, and they mm-hmm. are showing up in a good way and having conversations with other non-native people. And again, without, you know, the support of our allies and some, you know, nonprofits out there like MN350, Sierra Club, Indian Collective, IN, that's Indigenous Environmental Network, and some of our tribes as well, we wouldn't be where we're at right now in the spaces that we hold in the work that we do. And a lot of our work also involves political work and building those relationships with the elected officials and holding their feet to the fire. But, you know, back again, Robert, it's about democracy, and we vote for change. And we've seen that with that trifecta here, you know, in Minnesota. The more mm-hmm. we show up, the more candidates that we get on our side, we're going to have the majority vote where it matters.
Right.
And that's where it starts, you know. So again, when we're out tabling, Robert, we talk about building our power, not just treaty style, but in the world of voting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's coming up quick again. And, you know, we work with Make Voting a Tradition here on Native Roots Radio, and Rock the Vote Native Style we've done over the years. It's really important, and we need to, and to keep getting our Native people involved, you know. And I just always, and Haley's a Gen Zer, is just throwing out, Gen Zer gets it, and we're really excited that, and they don't get polled, so you see these polls and everything, and it's like, it's not a real thing, because, you know, they're not doing, you know, polling Gen Zs. They're not polling people like us that look like us. And I just, before we get going here, I just want to give a quick shout out to Alice and give her some, she said some really great stuff here and listens to our show. As an ally, it is a massive honor to be a treaty person. And I just want to give her a quick shout out and get healing prayers to Alice, too.
Right. Right. She's my Facebook friend, and I'm so excited one day to meet her in person. And again, I want to give a shout out to people just like her that, you know, listen to the show and support the work that we do. And again, if you're willing about to help what we do, you can go to MN350 and donate and be a part of what we do and show up when we ask.
Nancy, we always talk about before the show, we don't have much to talk about, but I know we always do. And thank you so much for coming on and reminding people of us and treaties and where we're at.
Right. We are all treaty people.
Ooh, that was a good. We'll have.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup at 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A dam in Vermont's capital threatens to overflow as flooding slams the northeast. Andrew Mullen owns a restaurant in Ludlow, Vermont.
Total devastation. It just shows on how Mother Nature can sometimes just say they're in charge.
Phoenix is on track to set a record as it hits 110 degrees for a 12th straight day. Tasha Foy's vacation destination, Pompano Beach, Florida, is hotter than expected.
It is oppressive. It is. It's been very hot this week. We were not prepared. Happy that our Airbnb has a pool.
PGA Tour executives testified before a congressional subcommittee about the deal to bring Saudi investment into the PGA Tour. PGA Tour CEO Ron Price tells lawmakers,
"The agreement provides clear, explicit, and permanent safeguards that ensure the tour will lead the decisions that shape our future and that we will have control over our operations, strategy, and continuity of our mission."
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, "I don't know how I'd rule." I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, "Yeah, why is DEI so dangerous?" And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, "Hello, are you there?" I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
To replace those appliances, don't miss Warner Stellion's lowest prices of the season. Score instant savings, then up to 10% off, and a bonus for each additional appliance you buy. Put us to the test at warnerstellion.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we have on the phone Robert Blake and with the Solar Bear, with the Solar News. Robert, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, Robert? How's it going?
It's going great. And I hear rumors you're outside ready to get a happy haircut. Is that true?
Hey. Yeah, you got me going into my haircut place. I know.
Yeah. Well,
you know what, Robert? I was just thinking about, you know, because I'm out here at the mall, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to see just more and more like electric vehicles driving around. And I'm also seeing some of these malls are putting renewable energy on top of their roads, solar.
Yeah. And I'm seeing those charging stations too, all over the place now too.
Yeah. I'm over by one right now, and I'm looking at it right now, and it's charge point. I can read it. It's charge point.
Wow.
But I mean, can you imagine, Robert, like where all this is going to be, like, say, let's just say in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's really becoming mainstream, and it's becoming a part of our lives. And I don't think anyone could have seen how the public has taken hold or like acceptance of renewable energy, electric vehicles, charging stations. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just happening.
I got a quick question in those lines, and we've never really talked about this, but with all the AI stuff, how much faster is that going to help renewable?
You know, that's a good question. You know, and what's happening right now is there are groups being put together that are going to tackle these kinds of questions about, you know, what kind of agreements, what kind of treaties, what kind of, way of like looking at, you know, how AI is going to be kind of rolled out, right? Like, mm-hmm. how are countries going to deal with this? And then what kind of agreements can they make now, you know, about artificial intelligence and how this is going to be implemented in our society, right? Because this is, it's like scary,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, you know, this is just all a part of our evolution as a society, right?
Right. And let's use this for the good of the world and mankind, and not end up like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Oh,
right. Yeah. Yeah. What is that called? Netscape or whatever? Like, I forgot what it was called again. I forget my Terminator terminology right now.
I think the first Terminator. Right. Exactly. And, and I'm just, I just typed in a certain website, free website. I said, Native Radio Show, intro, and it popped out. I want to say 400 words in 2 seconds, and literally, I could have read that.
Yeah, Robert, you were a teacher. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you were a public school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine, Robert, now these students being able to put in this chat GPT, write up papers, and then turning them in? I mean, are educators going to be able to, like, you know, understand, like, this wasn't their work? Or right. You know what I mean? Like, those kinds of things. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. I would have got straight A's is all I know, or A pluses if they were giving them out. What the heck?
Right? I mean, it's just crazy to think about. And it, you know, I as we go further and further into this, you know, artificial intelligence is going to be a big part of renewable energy and how it's being distributed, where it's going to be used at. You know, there's going to be a home that, say, they're just going to be watching a TV, so they're going to have an excess supply of energy there. And it's just going to be redistributed over across the block to the school that's hosting the evening high school basketball game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, artificial intelligence is going to do that, you know, and it's going to make our grid a lot smarter, a lot more reliable. But, you know, with I think those benefits are going to come this negative piece where, you know, are we teaching it to, like, think for itself? You know what I mean? Are we, is that's what I think people are scared of. Is it going to become self-autonomous? You know what I mean? Like, is it going to start, you know, thinking for itself and like you said, do the whole Terminator thing.
Right. And that's already happened. And I guess I don't want to get deep into this. We'll have to do our own AI show soon, Robert. But I have heard reports, whether it was on 60 Minutes, that they are starting to rationalize and think for themselves. So it's already happening. It's a matter of watching it and controlling it. And I don't know if the genie's out of the bottle now, but I do believe using this in a good way is really going to help, like you said, renewable energy.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always the yin and there's always the yang, right? You've got the good and there's always the bad. Right. The problem that I see in this is that if we're already having hackers break into our computer systems already, what's that going to look like if we have artificial intelligence, you know, being the gatekeeper, but then also being able to infiltrate other systems? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm kind of like drawing the line at. Like, I think that we need to have agreements between countries, between governments. We need to have agreements between, let's be honest, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, these people need to have some type of, you know, rules to the game, because if they don't, then, you know, like you said, the genie gets out of the bottle and we're, you know, it's blasting off nuclear weapons, you know, across the entire planet, because they think that the artificial intelligence thinks that we're going to, you know, commit equal suicide.
Right.
Which in some respects we're doing, you know what I mean? With our way of life.
Absolutely. And, you know, to get in deeper too, you know, there's people were shooting off fireworks and there was a big fire here. And because everything's so dry and because, you know, we had flooding in the beginning of the beginning of spring. And now I can count on one hand how many times it's rained a little bit since then, and everything's dry. And so we need to really become more proactive. And like you said earlier in the show, people are jumping onto it. I remember, what was it, 2 years ago, Robert, that the Ford F-110 went sold out immediately for the new electric cars. Well, we needed the manufacturers and the government to support this to get more of that out there and bring the price down, too.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. And I think that right there brings me up to like some great stories here that are currently happening, you know, around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, nationwide electric vehicle charging infrastructure is designed to meet 30 to 42 million light duty electric vehicles by 2030. Think about that.
Wow.
Robert.
Wow.
42 million electric vehicles the infrastructure is now being set up across this country to meet 42 million electric vehicles by 2030.
Wow. That's awesome. And that's quick. That's going to be soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and here's another interesting fact too, Robert. The fastest growing jobs are in the renewable energy industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's crazy to think about, you know, that it's outpacing you know, it's outpacing the fossil fuel industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's outpacing healthcare. I mean, this is how fast, this is what the Inflation Reduction Act did. I mean, we're already on a trajectory to, you know, to make this transition anyway, right?
Right.
But with the Inflation Reduction Act and the Biden administration implementing this piece of legislation has put this industry on steroids, and it is just taking over mm-hmm. the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
With jobs, manufacturing, Robert, is now coming back to the shores of the United States. Manufacturing jobs are at an all-time high now also.
Yes.
That are being driven by the renewable energy industry.
That deserves a big round of applause, because this is the new generation of energy and a new paradigm shift in the economy too.
Yeah, and it's incredible, because, you know, even the big unions, right, the United Auto Workers, right,
mm-hmm.
Are looking at this year's contract negotiations as a really, really important opportunity, you know, to ensure that they have representation, you know, for future electric vehicle jobs. You know, they weren't worried about electric vehicles a couple of years ago,
right? Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But now the United Auto Workers, Robert, the United Auto Workers, one of the biggest unions, mm-hmm. one of the, you know, I mean, they are a staple of this country, are ensuring that in this next year's negotiations, that they have a place, and they are going to be negotiating around the table the future of electric vehicles. They're not just worried about their workers. They're worried about, where is this industry going, and yeah. how are we going to keep our people, you know, in it and in relevant, right?
Yeah.
I just think that's incredible, you know, that before it was just about having a job. Now it's about, okay, how do we keep these electric vehicles continuously being made? How do we continue to source the materials that are going to be used for these vehicles? And then how do we keep on, you know, being relevant and being a part of this industry?
Robert, that's
gangbusters right now.
Let's take a quick break. We know we have more news from the Solar Bear with the Solar Bear News. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! I heard Robert Blake. He's getting fired up for his haircut, his howling haircut coming up there. Hey, we're this is Native Roots Radio, and here we're with Robert Blake of the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we've been talking about some really positive things here. Robert, just let me know when you have to go. I see it's 10 till 6, and I know you have a 6:05 appointment. We don't want you to miss that.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, can I just give you the statistics, though, on these jobs and all these things happening real quick?
Yeah,
I just want to read out some statistics to you. Okay. The energy sector added 300,000 jobs this last year, 7.8 million total energy jobs in 2021 to over 8.1 million in 2022. Now, though the energy sector was deeply impacted by COVID-19, it's recovered 71% of the jobs lost in 2020. That's huge, Robert.
Wow.
That just goes to show how resilient the renewable energy sector is being right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the technologies, right? So we're talking about wind. Wind is up 20%. Grid modernization is up 12%. Hydrogen fuel vehicles, Robert, is up 25%.
Whoa.
Natural gas vehicles are up 14%, and plug-in hybrid vehicles are up 10%. Employers across all technologies are optimistic about the growth from 2022 to 2023.
Mm.
Now, real quickly, the clean energy technologies are making significant strides. So this is like solar, wind, all that. It's 80% of new electric power generation jobs, adding 229 jobs, up 3.6%. Clean energy jobs, Robert, increased in every state 3.8% nationally. So meaning even in Republican states, everybody, jobs are up in clean energy 3.8%. Can we get Republicans on board, Robert, for this? We are putting American people to work in the clean energy industry.
Yeah.
Battery electric vehicles increased by 29,000 jobs. Clean vehicles accounted for 59% of all new jobs in the motor vehicle industry, Robert.
Hmm.
In the motor vehicle industry, 59%. The future of energy industry is for everyone. The number of women working increased by 150,000. 150,000
wow.
women are now working in the clean energy industry, Robert. That is up from 2022.
Dang.
A quarter of the energy workforce are non-white workers. So BIPOCs are representing 23% of the energy workforce. Veterans are making of a 9%. Of the new energy workforce, up 5%, and energy employing American unions. Get this, Robert.
Hmm.
This is my last statistic. I'm telling you, union employers are more than twice as likely than non-union employees, 46% to 22% respectively, and it is more diverse with LGBTQ hires. In transmission and distribution and solar, the percentage of workers represented by union are covered under our collective bargaining agreement is up 11%, over 1.5 times the rate of the private sector.
Wow.
That means that energy is taking care of union and organized labor, everyone.
That's huge.
That's what that is saying. These statistics are on the Department of Energy website. You can go ahead and take a look at it. The solar bear is not making these statistics up, everyone. You can go and take a look at them, and they're all for you to read and see. And it's just incredible, Robert, where this industry is headed, where this is going. And you know, we just need to continue to push this. All of us need to get behind. We need to elect officials that are going to represent the people and think about the future, the next seven generations, like representatives like you, Robert, because you are an elected official, mm-hmm. and you're representing your community, your nation, and we need to elect people like you, Robert.
Well, I appreciate that. And I just want to give you, I know you got to get going, I just want to give you a quick shout out too of all the work you're doing in Indian country, and especially here, I mean, all over, but I know of a couple projects that you're doing here in Minnesota with a couple tribes, and I don't know how much you can talk about it, but I do know that, and other people are watching what you're doing here for in a good way for our communities out here, so I just got to give you a big ho-wah.
Well, I want to say to everybody, Solar Bear just finished up the McGeezy Project. It's on Lake Street. Right across the street there from the cemetery, Lake and Cedar. Mm. It's the new McGeezy building. They're gonna have an open house in October, but the solar project is done. You can drive by it. It looks beautiful.
Wow.
I'm so proud of that project and all the work that McGeezy does with the Native community and mm-hmm. the kids. They do such a wonderful job, and we were just really happy to be a part of that whole thing, and send a big shout out to Kelly Drummer
yeah.
and all the great work that she does there with her staff over there.
Absolutely.
They do a wonderful job with the kids and the community.
And I just got to say this real quick about McGeezy. McGeezy's been around for a long time, and they started as a way for college students to learn mass media, whether they were on TV or the radio and the news, and they've been just growing and been around. They've been around since the 70s, Robert.
I know, that's incredible. And I was just really proud and thankful that Kelly asked me to be a part of this project in their new building, because their old building got burnt down during the civil unrest,
yep.
you know?
Yeah.
And so this building is beautiful. They did a wonderful job there, and the kids are really going to be, they're just going to be loving this building, Robert. And I was just really happy to be a part of it, be a part of what they're doing there with the community, and super excited. Also, I should say real quickly, Solar Bear just finished up another project up in Red Lake Nation at the OG Center. That center right there is there to be able to serve the elderly population in the community. And that was Sherry Goodwin and mm-hmm. all the wonderful work she did there and all the wonderful work she does in the community too. So a couple of big shout outs there to Sherry and Kelly Drummer. They're doing such wonderful work in our community, Robert.
Absolutely. And it takes a tribe, it takes a village. And, I want to say again, Peeny Gigi for helping out these organizations and always coming on in a positive way here in Native Roots Radio and giving these news flashes. I feel like we've grown along with you and along with the solar community are all around the same time.
Well, I just want to say too, Robert, that you've helped Solar Bear grow. You've helped Native Sun grow. And I mean, I owe a lot of my success and a lot of the things that I've been able to do, Robert, to you. And you've been just like a big brother to me. You were my big brother's, one of his best friends growing up. So,
yeah.
you know, it that's the reason that, you know, that I'm around you. So, Miigwech, Robert, it's just the best to be around you
wow.
and have you be in my life.
Great, great point. And then we have to make a trip again to the next presidential, Native presidential caucus and do it up. So thanks again, Robert. Go get a haircut. Really appreciate you and what you do for the community and for Mother Earth, really.
And that's the solar news with the Solar Bear.
Right on, Robert. We'll speak to you soon and
okay,
have a
bye.
Great day. We don't say goodbye on our way. Hey.
Later.
That's awesome. Hey, awesome show again, Haley. Hope you're feeling good. Hope you're feeling better. I know you're a little down, but I appreciate you so much being here with me and running the background and setting up all these shows. I couldn't do the show without you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm feeling much better now, getting to hear from our friends Nancy and Bob and hearing all
this. This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.